Surely His goodness and mercy you daily attend. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do. With His love doth befriend thee. Praise to the Lord who doth save us and restores our faith. We give well for the tasks that are ever before thee. Then to thy name, God, as a mother does speak. Please be seated. Let us pray. Eternal and loving God, we thank you for this beautiful morning that you have given us to gather here in this church and also online to praise you and worship you and adore you. We thank you for the gift of life. One more day to live in this world, Lord, to be a blessing here. It is not because of who we are and because of what we have done. It is only because of who you are and what you have done through your Son, Jesus Christ. You gave His only begotten Son to send to this world so that He came and suffered for us and paid the price for our sins and died on the cross and rose again from the death so that we don't have to worry about sin and death anymore. Thank you for choosing us through your Son to become children of yours. Thank you for your grace and mercy that you shower upon us every day in spite of our unfaithfulness. Thank you for always being there listening to our prayers. As we gather here today, Lord, we pray that you will help us to worship you in truth and in spirit. With all the saints in this world and angels in heaven, help us to praise you and honor you, Lord. Thank you for your continued blessings to this church and help us today with your presence, so that when we leave from this place, that we'll be empowered by your Holy Spirit. Let all honor and glory be to you and you only. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It is our greeting time now. If you are able, please stand up and greet each other in Christian love.
Important. Okay, let's sing and see if you can sing important.
Okay.
Let's do it. Remain standing for the responsive reading, which is taken from Psalm 130.
Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice.
Let your ears be attentive to my voice of supplications.
If you, O Lord, shall mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand?
But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be worshipped.
I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in the Lord's world, I hope.
My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning.
More than those who watch for the morning. The word of God for the peoples of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. As we come before God as a church family with our prayers of blessings and concerns, this is a time that we take to share our prayers together and share between each other and also with God. For all the blessings that we receive, we thank God for that. And also for the burdens and concerns that we carry, let us share with one another and also with God, that God is faithful in answering our prayers according to His time and will. So let us share our prayers of blessings and concerns this time. At the back of the bulletin, we have the prayer requests. If you look at the back, the regular prayer requests are listed there. JD, if you can click one. Yeah, that is also listed on the screen now. These are items and people that we have been praying continuously for. Continue to pray for Martha as she is continuing with her chemo, and she's in good spirits, so please continue for continue to pray for her recovery and healing. I'm glad to see Bob here today, and he's not having a good time, I heard from him. But keep in our prayers, Bob. God is good, and He will be good in the future as well. So we'll trust in a God who is faithful. Any other prayers, special call-outs? Anybody want to share anything? Blessings or concerns?
My niece, Rebecca, she's had a kidney stone. So she's been in a lot of pain. Had to go to the ER, and she's trying to get it
Okay.
She's like 31, 32.
Okay.
Is Martha online this morning?
Yes, Martha is on. Martha, you want to have any? Do you have anything to share?
I'm doing well. I do have a treatment coming up this Wednesday. Hopefully it'll go as well as the last one did.
Okay. We'll continue to pray for you. Let us lift up our country to God's hands and pray for the leaders of the country, the president and the lawmakers, governors. And also let us pray for the first responders and service workers, our grocery clerks and delivery people and trash workers, postal workers, a lot of people who are working day and night to support us during this difficult time. And there was a news this morning, I don't know if you heard that, about 17 missionaries were kidnapped in Haiti last night. So please keep them in our prayers that they will be safely returned, and also pray for the change of hearts and minds of those kidnappers. So let us keep them in our prayers. If there are no other special prayer items to call out, let us go to God in prayer. We'll have a moment of silent prayer, and then I will close with a summarized prayer. Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, I believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." Loving God, we thank you for this time that you have given us to come together as your children. Come before you with our prayers of blessings and concerns as well, Lord. As you have given us this life as a gift in this world, and we thank you for that, and also the joys and the many blessings that come with it. Thank you for covering us with your love and protection every day. At the same time, many of us carry a lot of burdens in our bodies, in our minds, and in our souls. We come before you as broken people, looking for wholeness in you, Lord, because you are our Creator. You are the source of all healing, and you are the only one who can make us whole. As we read, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. When we are lonely, you are our friend, O Lord. When we go through life's sorrows and loss, you give us comfort and peace. We thank you for always being there, listening to our prayers and knowing everything that happens in our lives. We lift up those who need your protection and guidance at this time. We thank you for the continued healing for Martha as she's going back to the treatment this coming week. We pray for your special blessing be upon her. We pray for Rich as well. Bless them as a family with your healing. Above all, we pray for peace and your comforting presence with them during this time. We pray for Rebecca as Penny shared, for her healing at this time. Touch her with your healing hand, Lord. Above all, we pray for peace in her life as well. We pray for all those who are affected by various illnesses and diseases, particularly the pandemic. We pray for your continued grace upon them, and also us as a world, to recover completely from this pandemic. We pray for the families of the missionaries and the missionaries who are kidnapped in Haiti. We pray for your protection for them and safe release. And we pray that you will also change the hearts and minds of those kidnappers, that they will know the living God and become lovers of humanity, Lord. We pray for our country together at this time. With a lot of things changing and a lot of problems are happening around us, help us, Lord, to be trusting in you during this time, as you have done in the past. You have been faithful to us, and you will continue to be faithful to us. Bless the leaders of the country, the president, lawmakers and governors, and the people who make major decisions that affect us, Lord. Give them the wisdom and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for all the service workers, our police, our fire, our delivery people, our trash workers, and a lot of people who work day and night, risking their lives for us. We thank you for their services. At the same time, we pray for their continued safety and protection, Lord. We pray for their families. Thank you for their services and bless us, Lord, together as we look up to you for our future. bless this church to do, bless this church as we do this work in your, in this community that you have given us to do. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in everything that we do. Continue to guide us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit to do the work that you want us to do here, to bless this community and this world. We thank you for your presence in our midst today. Bless us with your word as we go from this place, that we will be filled with your power, so that we can be more powerful witnesses for you in the places that you keep us in the coming days. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come forward and take up the offering, please. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Loving God, we thank you for all the blessings that you shower upon us, Lord. We come before you with a portion of what you have given us, Lord. May we find joy as we freely give our prayers, our presence, gifts and service to support the ministry of this church and the mission of your kingdom in this world. We thank you for those who were able to give joyfully, and pray for those who could not give today. Remember all of them in your love, O God, and bless and help us to use this offering to share your love to this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I ask you to remain standing, because normally we have a special at this time. We don't have enough people to do a special every Sunday, so today you are the special. We're going to do a praise chorus entitled Hallelujah. Carol and I do it a little differently, so just watch her and join in. It is page
186.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
remain standing for the scripture reading now, which is taken from the book of Jonah, chapter 1, verses 1 through 17.
The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because of the wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us, so that we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all of this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? Where is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher. So they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. Instead, the men did their best to row back to the land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. This is the word of Lord, of the God that we love, for the people that God loves.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the gift of your word that you have given us to be life and spirit in this world. Help us, Lord, to receive your word with humility and obedience. Illumine our souls to see the truths, spiritual truths behind the words, and open our hearts and our minds so that it will become a blessing, not only in our lives, but also to this world through our lives. Help us to have an obedient spirit as we listen to your word. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this is an interesting story that you may all have heard before sometime in your life, as a child or as an adult. A lot of people, non-Christians, even know this story. Even some of them don't even believe it. How many of you have not heard it? Nobody, right? Everybody has heard this story. How many of you believe it has happened? Everybody believes it, right? But a lot of people who preach this story and also teach this story say that they don't believe in it, because a man's life in the belly of a fish is not practically possible. So they don't believe it. They say it's a fairy tale or something. But I don't know if you know the story about a teacher telling the students that this is not a real story, that a man cannot really survive in the belly of a fish like that for 3 days.
And the boy raised his hands and said, my Sunday school teacher said it is a real story. And if you have doubts, we will ask him when we will ask Jonah when we go to heaven. And then the teacher asked, what if Jonah went to hell? Then the boy said, then you can ask him. That's a funny, roots, rough story, but but that's what happens. Some preachers preach this and still don't believe this happened. But it has historical significance. This happened around the 8th century, somewhere between like 750 BC. And we have reference to this in the book of 2 Kings. In chapter 14, we read about the prophet Jonah. King Jeroboam was ruling the country at that time for the nation of Israel. And then this book was probably compiled in a script form only later on in like 6th or 5th century BC, but it was not compiled together as a story. But this has historical significance, and also Jesus referred to this story in his preaching in this world. If you look at the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 12, we read about Jesus saying and quoting this story when people, the Pharisees and the scribes, asked them, teacher, we want to see a sign from you. And he replied, the evil and adulterous generation craves for a sign, yet no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. Because just as Jonah was in the stomach of a sea creature for 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment and condemn the people living today, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. But look, someone greater than Jonah is here. So Jesus referred to this story thousands of years later, hundreds of years later, and thousands of years later now, we still teach the story as a story of repentance and also a story of a loving God, not as a destroying God. So if we look at the story of Jonah, I told you there's a very big significance of history, historical significance when it comes to Israel. This happened at a time when the country or the nation of Israel was strong and flourishing and growing. And they had no problems, but other than some of the little threats from here and there. But there was another kingdom, a neighboring kingdom, was also growing like them, the Assyrian kingdom. So that was becoming a threat, because eventually when two powers grow like that, you know, eventually that's going to start some rivalry and maybe some wars might come up. But the Assyrians, who were strong and economically and they were flourishing also, just like the nation of Israel during this time, were idol worshippers. And God was having mercy on these people so that they will be turned from the idol worship and turned to the living God. So he used, or he was trying to use the prophet Jonah from the country of Israel to go and preach in Assyria, another kingdom, in a city called Nineveh. That is what the story is. But lo and behold, Jonah didn't want to go. So this is not only a story of repentance and the conversion of the people of Nineveh, but also it is the story of grace and mercy to a prophet, a disobeying and a hesitant prophet who was called by God and used by God. Story of a missionary running from his mission, a prophet trying to play hide and seek. That's what happened to Jonah. He was trying to run away from God. I don't know why he didn't say no, I don't want to go. So he just took up the mission rather than saying no to God, because I know probably he didn't want to say no to God. He was afraid of the consequences. So he decided to go, but he went on the other direction. Whenever we try to run away from God and go against God's will, there is always going to be the devil giving you some of the things that you want to run away from. Because there was a ship waiting for you to Tarshish. When he wanted to go, God asked him to go to Nineveh. He went and looked at a ship that was ready to sail. She thought this was all good thing, coming together, because I don't want to go to Nineveh, another kingdom, to preach about the kingdom of God in that country. I know they are not going to believe, except I have a good time here, I have a good life here. Why would I waste my time going there and preaching about the living God in a country that they are not going to listen anyway? So that's what the reasoning came to his mind. He thought God was not very smart. That's what he thought, basically. So he went and looked for going somewhere else. Lo and behold, there is a ship ready to go to Tarshish. He jumped on it. Whenever we try to get away from God, there is always going to be a ship ready for you to go somewhere else. And don't think that is God's plan. Many times you say, hallelujah, here it is, I'll take it. I think it is God's plan. God doesn't want me to go there. Not everything that comes your way as a good thing is not God's plan. Always be very sensitive to the things that come our way and discern it in the script, based on the scripture and prayer, before we take it on. So anyway, Jonah decided to get on that ship, tried to run away from God. And he went all the way down into the deck of the ship, wherever he can hide, and he tried to hide. So he's not only running away, but he tried to hide from God and from people. He went down to the deck of the ship as down as he can and started a nice sleep. So he tried to hide not only from God, but also from the people in the ship as well. So he knew there was people who probably will eventually find him out, because he's a Hebrew. And the Tarshish is not a place where Hebrews really want to go, but what are you doing here? So he didn't want to be visible among the other travelers as well. So he's like at hide and seek. That's what this game is. He's trying to hide, and God is seeking after him. That's why I titled this message, A Hiding Prophet and a Seeking God. We all have played hide and seek, right?
Yes.
Right? When have you played it last? You might think it was a long time ago, but not really. You probably have played with your grandchildren recently. We did. So we play, the little children like the hide and seek. They, especially the two-year-olds, they don't know where to hide. They try to put a blanket or something over their head, and you pull it out, and behold, you're found. That's what we do with our two-year-old grandson. So this is not a game of hide and seek where, in the regular hide and seek game, you actually have a seeker. We call it or something, and they start counting, right? They're counting 1 through 20, or some people count like 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi. I don't know why they picked Mississippi for that. But that's what you do. I go up to 20 or 50, and then the rest of them scatter all over the place and hide themselves. And then after the count, the seeker will go and try to find these people. And if somebody is found, that person or the seeker will have to go and hit the target, right? Go first. Whoever gets the target, and you become the next seeker, right? So that's how the game goes, if I remember correctly. But the seeker got there first, and the hitter becomes the seeker for the next round. But in this situation of Jonah and God playing hide and seek, God is the seeker. And Jonah will never become the seeker. Because even when you run away from God, there is a God will continue to follow you no matter where you try to hide yourself in. But when you have played, or you played with your children, have you ever found a place where that you could never be found?
No.
Probably you can find a place. If it is so with our human beings, how is it possible with a living God who knows everything, and people like Jonah thinking that you can hide from God? So it is not just Jonah. It's not just children who play hide and seek. All of us play hide and seek every day from God. And it did not start with Jonah. I remember it started with our great, great old grandparents, Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden. Mm-hmm. That's where they started it. When they sinned against God, what did they do? They tried and hid themselves, thinking that God will never find them. An all-knowing God who is omnipresent and omniscient. He knows everything. He sees everything. He's omnipotent. He has all the power in the Almighty God. We cannot ever run away from God and hide ourselves thinking that God will not see us. He sees inside and outside of us. That's what David says in Psalm 30, that he says that you created me and you know everything inside me. If I go down into the depths of the earth, still your eyes will see me. So what happens to us when we run away from God? We go down the spiral. That's what happened with Jonah. He went all the way down to the deck of the ship, thinking that nobody would find it. But then it didn't stop there. He found himself under the sea, going down again, deeper and deeper. When we try to run away from God, we are going into a spiral downwards. And God is the only one who can rescue there, us from that deep depth of the sea. And then all the stories that we heard read today, all of those things happened, the storm started coming up, and these people who were in the ship did not know what's causing this. So they tried to call on their gods, and finally they found one guy sleeping in the midst of all of this chaos in the bottom of the ship, and they found him and woke him up. He said, "Who are you? Where are you coming from? Where are you going?" That's what the world looks at the Christians today and asks him. We see you, who are you? Asking a question to each of us today, people of God, with a mission that God has given us. The world is asking us, do you know who you are? And do you know what your mission is? That's what these people are asking. They didn't believe the living God, but they had some questions to this prophet. The world has questions to you and me today. As children of God, the witnesses of the kingdom of the living God, we are the living witnesses for God in this world. And the God is asking us, in the midst of this chaos, in the midst of this rebellion and disunity and fightings and hatred, injustice going on in this world, do you know who you are? Do you know what your mission is? Jonah finally realized and admitted to them, I worship the true living God. I am a Hebrew. And he already told them that he is running away from God. So these people came to know about the living God, even in the midst of this chaos and the disobedience of a prophet. The people who did not know the living God, even the people in the ship, were afraid of this God at this time. That's a great, great event that happened. God works through, even in our infirmities, in our weaknesses, in our failures, God will still use us if we come back to God and admit and repent of our sins. Amen. God used Jonah even in the middle of that storm in the sea. So these people did not know what to do with him. So what did they do? They asked him what to do with him. That's what the world will ask you. What are we going to do with you? Jonah had no problem. He said, throw me into the sea. That's what he said. Throw me into the sea and the calm will. But they did not want him to go down into the sea. So they tried again to save his life. But the sea was not coming any better. So finally, they decided to throw him into the sea. And that's the grace of God again, that we call sometimes, the Methodists, we call it the prevenient grace. Even when we are going and running away from God, going away from God, God's grace is one step ahead of us, waiting for us, even in the depths of the sea. That is the faithfulness of God. God has arranged a sea creature. Some say it's a whale, some say it's a fish. I don't know what it was. God arranged a safety place for Jonah, even in the depth of the sea. When we find ourselves running away from God, God's grace is always ahead of us, waiting for us to come back. Amen. And he will receive us. Amen. Like the prodigal son who ran away from his father, loving father, found himself lost and had nobody to turn to. There was a grace of God that asked him to come back. That is what God's grace always does. We sometimes call it prevenient grace, a grace that is ahead of us. God's grace is so vast and always there to receive us back when we run away from God. Yes, yes. So like Jonah, we are not immune to problems like in our lives. You know, try to hide from God. We don't want to go places where God wants us to go for various different reasons. Often take our life in a different direction. There are countless Christians living a life that is continually running and hiding from God in disobedience. In fact, some of us don't like certain situations in our lives. Some of us are going through situations that we thought would have an end soon, but it's not seeing an end anywhere soon. So these situations come to us and we try to question the faithfulness of God. But like Jonah, even in the midst of our unfaithfulness, in the face of our unfaithfulness, God is faithful to take us and protect us. The funny thing here is that whale or the living creature or whatever it was that gave protection to Jonah, that fish was so obedient to God than Jonah was. Because God arranged that fish and told them to take up Jonah,
yeah.
And he did.
Amen.
Because according to what the scientists say, that the whales don't survive if they eat human beings. I don't know if it's true or not. It's kind of poisonous. They will die. That's one of the reasons that this did not happen. But if you read the scripture, it doesn't really say that it's whale. Does it say?
Nope.
It says a living creature, something. So it may not be a whale. So whatever it was, the creature obeyed God in swallowing Jonah. Jonah learned a lesson. The creatures, even the wind and the storm, will obey God. Remember the time when Jesus was sleeping in a boat?
Yes.
And all the disciples were afraid because the storm arose.
Mm-hmm.
So would you prefer to be in a ship that is in a sleeping Jonah or with a sleeping Jesus?
Sleeping Jesus.
A sleeping Jesus is much better than a sleeping Jonah. Right? That's what we have. Jesus rose up and said, and he commanded the wave to stop and storm to stop, and it obeyed his voice. But Jonah could not do anything. Jonah could not do anything with the wind and the sea. God is a powerful God. He can command his creation.
Yes, yes, yes.
He can give the word to the wind and the storm around us that is threatening our very foundation of our life, and can calm the situation. But if we give it into the hands of God, he will take control of our life. And he can give us peace in the midst of our storm.
Amen.
Our society is like Nineveh that needs repentance and redemption. Truth and honesty has become memory to many people in this area, in this time. But who will preach repentance at this time?
Mm-hmm.
Who will go to Nineveh? Who will go to another kingdom that may not be pleasant for you? One of the commentators writes that the survival of a man in the belly of the fish is difficult to believe. But the repentance of the people of Nineveh is sometimes considered to be an even greater impossibility. Because nobody would think that their people would repent and change their lives. Jonah, the unwilling missionary, caused the conversion. First the people in the ship and then the people in the Ninevites.
Right.
You know, after...
Amen.
The fish vomited him at the shore. Jonah had a second call from God. And Jonah obeyed. And he went to Nineveh and preached the kingdom of God. Sometimes the call may not be very pleasant. It may not be a good,
Amen.
Comfortable place to be. But if you listen to God and take up the cross, God is going to use you beyond your dreams and beyond anybody can ever imagine. Even the most terrible sinner has hope in God. God is a God who will give us second chances, third chances, fourth chances, when people would give up maybe two or three times,
Amen.
Give up on you.
Yes.
But God will give us unlimited chances. His grace is so unlimited. When we try to limit it or deny it, we ourselves become lost. We need God's grace to be part of our life every day. So if you go to the second chapter, if it's a small book again, go home and read the story of Jonah. It's a very interesting story and also a spiritual, the enlightening story for us. The second chapter is a chapter of prayer, if you read that. That's a prayer that Jonah wrote while he was in the belly of the fish. He cried out to God. Remember what I told you last time? Whenever you found yourself closed up in a cave or enclosed in the belly of the ship, God is putting through a situation where you have something to write. Write a song. Write a testimony. Because at the end of it, there is going to be a time when you can sing this song or say this testimony to others. When everything is done and gone, you will be there witnessing for the faithfulness of God. God calls Jonah a second time and used him for the conversion of the Ninevites, the Assyrian people. God's grace and mercy are evident all through the life of Jonah as well as the people of Nineveh. God is a great God regardless of who we are. Amen. God's grace is so vast and wide that it will enclose everyone in His grace and bring to the repentance and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So today as we go from this place, let us be thankful to God for the immeasurable grace that God has given us through His Son Jesus Christ. It is not because of what we have done. Many times we think we do a lot of good things and God is pleased with us. Yes, good things are good. But beyond that, that is not what pleases God. What pleases God is an obedient spirit, a willingness to take up the mission of the love and care and compassion of Jesus Christ and go to the place where that is needed. Around us, in our neighbors, maybe some of you may be called to go outside of our country. I don't know. But I heard that, I shared that story with you about the missionaries. I believe they are from Ohio, or one of these states. 17 missionaries from America kidnapped in Haiti this last night. And 14 adults and 3 young people, minors. So please keep them in our prayers. And that's a wake-up call that we all have. And a responsibility to pray for those people. The people of Haiti needs a lot of prayer. They are going through a very tough time. And we are a country that is blessed so much. Amen. So let us use this time to pray for them and help them as much as we can. And also pray for the release of those people, the missionaries. May the good Lord bless us with these words as we go from this place to be faithful in God's hands in the days to come. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
The closing hymn is Just As I Am. We are going to be singing verses 1, 3, 4 and 6. It is 357 in the hymnal if you want to follow that in the hymnal. If you are able, please stand. Thank you.
Lamb of God, I come. Come. Just as I am, thy love unknown has broken now to be gone, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come.
God's grace is so vast and so deep that no matter where you are in the depth of the sea, even there God will find us. May the good God bless us with these words as we go and be powerful witnesses for Him. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
Have a blessed week.